The ministry of song, the ministry of teaching, the ministry of preaching. When we began the Advent season, focusing on definitely the arriving of our Messiah, the Son of Almighty God, what we need to understand is that there is a story dealing with life, physical life, and eternal life. The scriptures are given to us in story forms. And when Jesus is speaking in those different parables, as we call it, these are stories. Now, why would he do that? Because everybody likes to hear a story. Everyone likes to hear, and why we watch TV shows or movies or whatever, because we said we go for the story that's in it. That's why we see a lot of the movies that have the fairy tales, as we call it, you know, because I want to watch it because it feels so good, because it always has a good ending. Living in this world, you and I as human beings realize that a lot of times as we're walking in this human condition, that the stories that we would tell would not be good stories. There would be stories of hurt and pain and brokenness. Yet as we continue to walk, as we continue to live, the stories of our life grow, and as the stories of our life grow, so should you and I, as children of God, grow in the Word of God. You see, the Word of God is the power that will give us courage throughout this life. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, without the power that God wants to give us, then all of the hurts, the brokenness, the deaths, you know, the terrible situations that we witness throughout this life, you and I could not handle. Many will lose their mind, as we know. And why do they lose it? Most of the time, it's because of life, an experience that they've had with life. Well, as the story is told from year after year, I always chuckle when someone says to me, "Are you going to teach or preach the same sermon you did last Christmas and last Easter?" Well, until the story changes, yes, yes. And as long as we're on earth, the story's not going to change. Now, the stories of Christmas and Easter and life that we find throughout Scripture, those stories relate to us as individual Christians. Do you know if you would take the Bible and you would start reading in prayer throughout the Scripture, you'll find you in there somewhere. You'll find your personality right there in God's Holy Scripture. You'll see your hope and why that each of us have that hope. The hope candle would only be just a candle without Christ. But in Christ, there is always hope. No matter how bad, how horrible, how terrible things get within our life, God says, "I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you." And the Lord lets us know that how much he loves us by doing this. In order, and this was God's plan, as he said from the beginning. You and I don't know what that means, the beginning. Because with God, he always has been. So let me get out of that one real quick. But one thing we do know, that we have a Savior that loves us. We have a God that came to earth in human form. He put on the coat, the cloak of human skin. Let's say that God sees the hurt and the pain. My creation cannot continue to exist without my ultimate love, because man will never submit to the total will of God. I am going to have to go down and pay the price, because all of us are guilty. We were guilty from birth because we were born in sin. And a righteous God looks down and says, don't worry about it, I got this. So we have the Christmas story of God. Jesus, born in Bethlehem, is the incarnation of God coming down, putting on the coat of the human existence to feel our pain, to take our pain, to take charge of who we are as a creation of God. And he looks at us and he says, I love you. Now, at times in our life, folks, we have found out that we're not always that lovable. Sometimes we just don't even like ourselves, much less love ourselves. God says, I will love you when you're right. I'll love you when you're wrong. I will love you. And through the love of God, you and I will build in strength. We need to remember, life is going to go on. He has blessed us. What a privilege that God has given us to be able to walk through the life that he died for. Jesus died for my sins as he did for yours. And when I said yes to Jesus Christ, I know that you are who you say you are. I believe, Lord, everything you say. I then have become a part of the family of God. But I still have to do life here on earth. God has us here for a purpose, just like that first Christmas morning when our baby Jesus, as we will call him, comes into the human world. God is protecting. That's his son. God incarnate coming to feel our pain and to take our pain and to make a difference in our life, to protect us. But he says, you got to do life. How long are we going to live? Nobody knows that. Nobody knows that. The babies dying right and left. The elderly living longer. And the question is, why? Why? Here's an answer for you. In God's will, his love is so great that he who watched his own son be tortured. Got to picture this. He watched as his own son was being tortured, humiliated, laughed at, beaten, hung on a cross. And we said, but Lord, why am I going through this? Because you're doing life. You are doing life. And God says, when what I've called you to do has come to completion, I will bring you home to be with me. As Brother Randy said, in my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms. And God says, I'm coming to get you. We do not understand a lot of this. And you may think it's strange, but I want to bring it out. Because I guess I've started watching and got hooked on the Green Arrow and Flash. But I see so much science fiction there. And, you know, things that go far beyond what we could imagine could happen. But I have to chuckle. Because if the writers of those shows think that's far out, they ought to read the Bible. You see, I serve a Savior that was born of a virgin. I serve a Savior that walked through life, hung on the cross, and while on that cross, he thought of me, he thought of you, and he accepted the guilt for all the sin that was in my life and would ever come into my life. He died for me, the sin in my life, past, present, and future, and in the process said, I love you. As he watches his church in this generation, you and I are the church. It is the human bodies uniting together for the glory of God. We're the church. Again, I say it's not these buildings. Yet he watches the churches as his children are separating from the body of his son. The church is the body of Christ on earth, thus saith the Lord thy God. And united together, each of us as individual Christians, we make up a part of the whole body. And we are given power and strength by God's Holy Spirit. And he says, now go, function as my son. Go. Preach the gospel, baptizing those who believe in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And remember, he says, I'm coming back to get you. Now, a lot of people look at that as being the rapture when the church is taken up. Folks, when you leave this body, you raptured. You don't have to wait for any of the great rapture. That means the Lord has come to get you. The scripture says that he sends angels, and that is plural, just like with the children. He sends angels to escort us into his presence, which really, if you start listening and reading all of this, you'll think, man, that sounds like a science fiction type of a story. Let me give you another little clue on all of this. Heaven is so great that minds cannot conceive of its greatness. Now, if heaven is that great, and yet I'm listening to the minds of these individuals that, you know, come up with a, can you believe it, a cell phone. Can you believe it that you can wear a watch and that watch will wake you up? It'll tell you where you've been, and it, matter of fact, it says too much. I wouldn't wear it if I were you. But you see this in the high-tech world. And a few years ago, we said that could never happen. And since Christ came to earth, they've said it can never happen. Your Savior's not coming again. We watched him die on that cross. Read the book. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and when Jesus was born, God incarnate, he was born for a purpose, and you and me are that purpose. We were created to be a part of the family of God. Now, sometimes family reunions are not so good. Sometimes there can be rough situations in family reunions. Sometimes the families don't need to reunion. But God says, a part of my family, you are always welcome. My family will be dealt with through my love. I will feed you. I will take care of you. Don't worry about what man can do. How do I know that? It's a Bible story. God's told it. And if you're ever going to read a story, read the Bible, because it's the only true story you'll ever read. It's God's word. And when God speaks, all existence listens, except for the human being. We are so special that there's not one other creature that exists that's like us. Not only did the Lord do that when he came incarnate as baby Jesus, the only one, Could not be any other. God is who he says he is, and he's one God. As he come, it makes us remember that you and I are one of all creation also. There will never, ever, ever be another personality like you. There will never really be another you. You're it. Remember the joke of, well, God broke the mold? When he said, God broke the mold on every one of us. Never. You know that none of us will ever totally be replicated by another human being. You think of that. Well, you know, she looks just like her mother. I'm so thankful she doesn't look like her father. You know, and they're looking at that, they may look that way, but they're completely different. We're unique. Jesus was unique. The purpose for him coming was unique. God says, I want my son to come. And when my son comes, my son is going to usher in the age of grace, mercy. We go back into our Old Testament, we're reading the stories and thinking, you know, had I been there in that situation, I would have taken care of God's word. I would never have let him down like that. And then we keep reading and we get into the New Testament, who we are. The beginning of the New Testament, when the Lord came, lets us know that all the old has been completed. It is not done away with. It's been completed. The debt has been paid. That's why Jesus came that first Christmas morning. That's why the holy angels were singing when Jesus comes. That's why all the stars were winking, because Jesus, God incarnate, had come for a creation that has the freedom to choose him or reject him. And God says, I've come in love. I've come in peace. As God lived the human life as Jesus, his son, he felt the pain, the brokenness that each one of us will feel. He took it for me. Many bodyguards are hard to take a bullet for the one who hires them. Jesus, God himself, said, I'll take a bullet for you. It is me who will step in front of you. Don't you worry about this, Larry. I got this. That's why he came. He said, I've come as a servant. And then when I came as a servant, I offered hope to all creation. Even the animals paid attention to Jesus' birth. It was only the religious leaders that didn't show up. All the other creatures in heaven in existence knew the Son of God had come to earth. And therefore hope not only was thought within the heart, but was seen through the life of Jesus Christ. Hope. Hope is not just another word. The hope of God is the power of God. It doesn't matter whether, oh, you know, I cannot fathom this. Well, one of those shows I was watching where I never know whether anybody's really dead or not, because they keep coming back to life. You know, and you're looking at that, and what I look at is, if that could come from the thought process of man, wonder what God really does have in store. You know, I get excited, as you all know, sometimes about leaving this world. But while I'm in this world, it's hard to get excited sometimes. But one thing that I do know is this. I will be here as long as God calls me on this earth. And what I need to do is what you need to do, is focus on this world while I'm here. Oh, I can look forward to not being here. But folks, I have to look after you while I am here. As the preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I was ordained to speak the word of God, to watch over his flock. And we When we said yes to Jesus Christ, we were ordained to watch over one another, to take care of the family, to make sure that we understand something. The peace of this world is not real peace. I'm going to read some scripture now because I think this scripture is very important to tie in what I've talked about in hope. Because without the Word of God, you and I would be certainly hopeless. God says, I love you and I want you to be a part of my family. Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Did you all hear that? Every spiritual blessing there is, Christ has blessed us with it. For he chose us in him, meaning that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He chose us in him. So when I am in Christ, when I have been what we call born again, born from above, born anew, however you want to say it, that means we are in Christ and he in us. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy. Meaning you and I were chosen by God when we said yes to Jesus. The holy means set apart for God's service. That's what the word holy means. To be set apart. And listen to the next one. And blameless. I like that one. Now, while you're in that human existence, everybody will find blame and fault with you. If you live long enough, you'll see it over and over and recognize it. There will always be something wrong. Do you realize that when I said yes to Jesus, that not one of the foolish words I've ever spoken will come in the presence of God? Jesus cleaned me up. He cleaned me all the way up. And blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. It pleased God to bless us. Now listen to Romans 10, 13 through 15. Anyone, let me do that again. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? God sending the proclamation. God calling us to be priests, to proclaim the day of salvation. Well, I thought we didn't know about those days. I cannot tell you when I'm going to die, but I do know this about my salvation. You know, I can't remember the exact date or the exact time, but I remember the same exact Jesus. I remember when I said yes to him. I know within my heart, and I didn't need the calendar, because you see, Jesus doesn't use one. Will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is what the scriptures mean when they say, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Every Christian should be preaching the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. For in the good news of Jesus lies the hope of all creation. And Jesus says, go, and I want you to preach, tell it. God's sending plan. God has a sending plan for us. But it doesn't simply relate to heaven or to the heavenly realm. When I said yes to Jesus Christ and you said yes to Jesus, your sending plan focused on where we are right here through eternal living. Now, when I said yes to Jesus, looking back now and seeing when God put on the skin of man in that first Christmas morning, clothed himself in the human existence, he looks at us and he says, when we say yes, signed, sealed, and counted as already delivered. Listen. Your salvation, my salvation, signed, sealed, and already been delivered. Jesus knows my name. Every Christian is on the heart of Jesus continually. Sadly, not every Christian is on the heart of other Christians continually. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. That's what Jesus is saying. My peace I give you. Now listen to this, because I hear people misuse this scripture all the time. You know, because it is the peacemakers. The peacemakers. That's correct. It is the peacemakers. But it doesn't have anything to do with peace from the combat standpoint. There will always be wars and rumors of wars. The peace God wanted us to understand was this: I do not give to you as the world gives. He said, it's not the worldly peace that you think it is. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Because the peace he speaks of is the peace within sight of the Christian. The Lord said, I'll give you peace when things are good. I will bring peace to your heart when all hell is against you and seems like your whole life has caved in. That's the peace. It's called eternal peace that you can get from within by the hand of God. Why would I not want eternal peace? And why would I just trade peace on this earth? Actually, that goes, not peace on earth, goodwill to men. It goes, peace on earth to men of goodwill. The peace will always come from Christ. Why do I choose a fantasy peace with the world when I can have eternal peace with the God who loves me, forgives me? Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Ordinary people, you and me, given peace and also given a task. Stand the ground, pray, preach my word, love, and understand this, Larry, and then he will name us. Give them hope and tell them this. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. And when I come back, it will not be as the suffering servant. It will be as all-powerful Lord of Lords and King of Kings. I'm coming. And I'm coming for you. Amen. And I'm coming to lift you up so that where I am, there you will be also. That's the hope. Let's pray. Father, once again we lift our heart. Ask, Father, as you touch us, each and every one, you will give us the strength. Oh, Father, we need that courage and boldness to stand for your truth. We admit we're weak. We admit, Father, that we are but flesh. But we know that the good that is within us is you and from you. We present now, Father, who we are, our bodies, as living sacrifices for you. Touch us, Father, with your power, with your love, and give us that courage to stand and to always be proud of the name Jesus. 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 We ask now, Father, for your peace as we go through a special season that we celebrate, focusing on the birth of your Son. But help us, Father, to think more about your Son than the glamour that we see today. Remind us, Father, you clothed yourself in human existence just because you love us. We ask your blessing now. In Jesus' name, amen.